Do you realize we are living in historical times? I mean, this time right now is one for the history books. Future generations are going to talk about this. And when this is all done, we should probably get t-shirts that say, "I survived the coronavirus 2020. Well, it's not really much to brag about, is it? And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for this event to be over. One of my observations is that this time has left us feeling uncertain. We are left with questions and doubts, and we just aren't sure. We aren't sure of the stock market. We aren't sure of the job market. We aren't even sure of our own safety, because people of all ages and all races can possibly get sick. We're even afraid, I know this is kind of amazing, we are afraid to go to our little post office right here in town. Now, I was there a couple weeks ago, and as you know, there's two public areas in the post office. There's the post office box area, it's its own little room. Then you open the door and you go into the clerk's area, that's a separate room. And I was in with the clerk sending something out, and I happened to look outside, and there was a nice woman, and she was waiting outside on the front door until I came out. She would not even go into the post office box area while I was inside. She was waiting until I completely left the building. We're so uncertain of so much. We're uncertain as to whether the store is going to have enough food. We're even unsure that we can trust what we're getting on the news. I mean, we're not sure if we're getting honest reporting. And I'm not going to spend my sermon talking about what's going on. I think we've had enough of that in press briefings. But today I'm starting a new series of sermons about what I am sure of. Matters that I am 100% sure of. See, no matter what happens in our world, I know some truths that are stable and solid and unchanging, and we can have strength and security. We can restart our faith if we've been unsteady, if we'll just trust in these truths. Today, my first message, what I'm sure of, is that God is in control. Now, please don't just dismiss the topic and say, "Well, oh, I know what you're talking about." I don't think we really understand this. I don't think we really believe it. Otherwise, we wouldn't have such widespread worry and such uncertainty out here. So today, I'm going to approach this topic by looking at one of Jesus' parables. We're going to be studying John 15, a parable that Jesus told his disciples the night he was betrayed in the upper room. So turn with me here to John chapter 15, and I'm going to be reading the first four verses. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me." Jesus is teaching a parable about something that they all knew about, a grapevine. You know, you can find grapevines in the earliest history of the world. They're mentioned throughout the Bible, and they're often used, even in the Old Testament, to teach on and make spiritual points. Jesus himself had used the image of the vineyard before, so it was common in his day. It was a part of the life of Palestine, and I think it's pretty common today. I mean, I've seen them right here in Georgia. It seems like grape trellises are in every state that I travel to. You can usually see grapes growing on a hillside. Now, you're probably wondering, what does this grapevine have to do with my life? So I want you to hang with me, because it's going to make sense. Jesus is talking about the relationship between God, Jesus, and us. Verse 1, he says, "I am the vine, and my father is the gardener. The word for gardener is basically a word for farmer, an expert here at growing grapes. You know, we have a lot of experts right here. Did you know that? They're called farmers. They are experts at growing peanuts, and raising a good crop depends largely on the skill of the farmer. So who does Jesus say the gardener is? He says, Father. It's his Father, God. And that's going to be our focus today. Well, someone may say, well, where am I at? Don't worry, we're going to get to you in just a second. What does the farmer of the vineyard do? He waters it, he protects it, so that it will produce a maximum yield. So in the parable, God is the gardener. Jesus is the grapevine, and here we go, this is us. We are the branch. I want everybody to say, I'm a branch. You know, life is a lot easier when we realize that God is the one in control, not us. Now, we're used to being in control. We're used to working through our own problems, and we like to think of ourselves as the gardener of our life. So let me ask this question now, and I want you to really think about this. How much control do you have of your life right now? Do you realize if you were in another state, you could be fined if you decided to come to church? Even if you sat in the parking lot of the church inside your car for a drive-in service, you could be fined. Or you might have a drone flying over your head monitoring you. It's happening right here, my friends. It's in Atlanta. I just read this week Atlanta is testing drones right now that can monitor people and it can actually determine your temperature and record your movements. If you lived in another state, your neighbor might report you if they felt like you were not following the proper social distancing. In fact, there's been some politicians, some governors that are encouraging people to report their neighbor. In another state, you could get in trouble if you left your home to go visit a relative. It's happening right now. So here's the question. Are you in control? Now, I don't want you to worry because God is in control. Because you are just a branch. Now, I don't know a lot about vineyards. I've seen some pretty ones on the hills of Tennessee. So how do these things come about? Do they just grow up on their own? Do they just grow in a row? Do they just find trellises and just kind of grow up? Oh no, they are grown that way. So let's just say you decided to start a vineyard. What would you do? What kind of work would go into that? I was researching that and I found out if you were going to do it right, it might cost you about $10,000 an acre, and the vines would not ever produce until maybe the fourth or fifth year. That's just to get your first vintage. So maintaining a vineyard all year long is work. The harvest involves long days. Then you have to find the right location. You have to find enough sunlight so the grapes can ripen properly and prevent disease. Then you have to plant them on the right elevation. So what's my point? My point is the gardener does a lot of work in planting a vineyard and maintaining it. And God is the gardener. He's not standing idly by right now. He is the gardener of life and all creations. Ephesians 4:6 says, there's one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all. He maintains the world. He keeps the world around us. God works in our own lives. When we accepted Jesus Christ by faith, our sins were washed away, and we became a part of Jesus. We became a part of the vine. And God has been working on us, just like a gardener works on maintaining a vineyard. But I want you to remember, we're just a branch. In our passage today, verse 2, it says, he cuts off every branch that bears no fruit and prunes branches that do. So God is at work cutting and pruning. Now, we're going to learn some very surprising things about what this means, and I have a feeling it's not exactly what you've always been taught, but that's what we're going to talk about next week. Hopefully, we're all learning that we are not in control. So let me give you some ways that you can find assurance in a world that is upside down. The first way is to trust in the security of God's strength. See, a branch is dependent on the vine. It gets all of its nutrients from the vine. If it becomes covered, the gardener has to straighten it and move it, and he has to cut away things that block the vine and block the branches so they can produce fruit. God is making us into the person He created us to be. We're just a branch. We don't rest on our strength. Our security is who we are attached to, and that is Jesus the vine. Now I want you to listen to John chapter 1, verse 12. So we're looking in the same book, John 1, 12. This is what it says. Jesus says, John writes this, "But as many as received Him, to them gave He the power to become the sons of God." Another translation says, that first one was the King James Version. Here's another translation. It says, "He gave them the authority." The NIV says, "He gave them the right." So when a person is saved, they're changed, and they are connected to God's power. I've mentioned some things that make people nervous today. I've mentioned that I'm nervous about government power to monitor and intimidate. And there's also the fear of the virus. I think there's two basic fears that are going on in our world right now. One is people are afraid they're going to get the virus and they're going to die. And that's a valid fear people have, and a lot of people have that fear, and so we should recognize that and be sensitive to that. But there's another fear, and that is people that are not working and are afraid they're not going to have a place to live and they're not going to be able to pay their bills. And we should recognize that, and we should be sensitive to people that want to work also. These are things that we're worried about, but please understand, these things are nothing to God. God's power is working in you and me. So if we have to trust Him, we have to trust in His power. See, the world seems unstable, but if you're in Jesus Christ, you can rest in His peace and you can rest in His security. He doesn't change, and He's all-powerful. Now, the second way that we can find assurance is to remain in Him. I want you to look back at our text again, John 15, and I'm going to look at verses 5 through 8. "I am the vine, and you are the branches. If you remain in Me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from Me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in Me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in Me, and My words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to My Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be My disciples." So the first part of the sermon has been talking about God, the gardener, and how He takes care of us, and we're attached to the vine, and He gives us all the care necessary. But we still have responsibility in the matter. There's a condition. Jesus says, "If you remain in Me." Now, God's not going to let you go, and God has all power to strengthen and sustain us, but we have a choice. Are we going to remain in Him? It's not automatic. It's a daily choice. The alternative is given. If you remain with Jesus, you're going to bear fruit. But if you choose to separate, it says you can do nothing. If you leave your relationship with Jesus, you're going to wither up, and you're going to die on the vine. What happens to a branch that becomes dead on the vine? Well, it's broken off, or it falls off, and it's thrown away. Jesus is saying the choice is ours. Now, I don't have much experience with trimming back trees and vines, but I have experience trimming hedges. Now, whenever you cut back a shrub, for instance, you see all these branches that are laying on the ground. And they look alive, and they look strong, and they're green. But that's not going to be that way for long, because soon they're going to shrivel up and die and become brown and very ugly. They're separated from the source of life. God is the creator and sustainer of life. Jesus compared a life-giving vine that produces living fruit in our lives. So we can rest in the security of that relationship, or we can choose not to do that. And it's tempting. We have to remember God is in control, so don't give up your strength and don't give up your security. Now, a third way to stay assured is to be thankful for God's blessings. This sermon's been mostly about God and all He does to help us and to maintain us. Psalm 107, verse 1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." When we're thankful, we are basically thanking God for His control in our life and His care. We realize how dependent we are on Him. And you know, right now, it's easy for us to feel sorry for ourselves. But I think instead we should be using this time to reboot our spiritual lives and our spiritual walk. We need to restart our spiritual walk with Jesus. There's so much right now that can depress us and anger us today. I mean, it's hard to have a small group of experts determining if you can go outside. And we miss freedoms like being able to travel freely and luxuries like eating out and going to the mall or just even gathering with our church family. So it can be sad and it can be depressing, but God's still in control. But see, right now we notice the small things. The small things are what we're thankful for. So let's think for a moment about this. Do you have milk? Do you have bread? Do you have toilet paper? I'm pretty sure most people have toilet paper now. We aren't in the ICU, are we? We aren't on a ventilator right now. We aren't sick. We're not in isolation. I mean, Patricia can tell you a little bit about that. We have heating. We have air conditioning. We have data on our phones. I mean, let me tell you one thing. If they shut the data down in this world, in our country particularly, we might have a bigger panic than we would the virus. Do we have a car to drive? I mean, we could still get pulled over if we're not out for a good reason, but we do have our cars, and we have a place to live. So we've had to go without some luxuries, but all of this has reminded me that I'm dependent on God, and even though I'm just a branch, I know I'm in good hands because I know the gardener, God. So I have an exercise I want you to do. I want you to write some things down that you're thankful for. Maybe a family member. I mean, maybe they've been driving you crazy because you've been with them for 7 weeks straight. But aren't you glad that you had someone? Aren't you glad that you could call someone on the phone? I mean, aren't you glad that you weren't completely alone? So what can you be thankful for? I want you to listen to this beautiful scripture from Philippians 4:19. Paul says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of His glory in Christ Jesus." So has God met your needs? Has He taken care of you? Are you thankful to Him? You see, what I'm sure of is that God is in control. I can rest assured in His power. I can be thankful for His blessings because He's been so good to me. But not everyone likes this idea. Some resist Him and some ignore Him and they fight against Him. But what have they learned the last 7 weeks? People have learned that no matter what you've tried, no matter how you've reasoned, no matter how you've tried to fix matters, you are completely powerless. See, there's only one that's really in control right now, and that is God. So how about we stop trying to fix things and we Stop trying to control and manipulate. And how about we just rest in His love and we remain in Him? But you don't have to do anything else. We just have to let His words remain in you. Our text today, Jesus says, remain in me and I remain in you. The best place for us to be is to be in Him. And when we are in Him, we won't be afraid and we won't panic. He'll show you the way. Can you be dependent on God today? Well, to my church family, I just want to tell you that we are planning on starting worship hopefully next Sunday. The governor's proclamation has ended for us to have to remain into our house. And so we're going to resume worship hopefully with social distancing in place. We're hoping that you'll be able to come and it will be as safe as you would going to the grocery store. I'm not going to stand at the back door and shake your hands. If you want to wear a scarf, gloves, if you want to do that, that's fine, but it's good for us to be together. But if you're one of those people that have compromised health or you don't feel safe getting out, I understand, and the church has always been the place where you go if you want to go or if you're healthy. And so if you don't feel safe, just know I'm here and I'm going to be praying for you, and I hope that you will continue to listen to our services online and know that I'm here. Let me have a prayer for us. Dear Lord, may this church body, this group of Christians here, remain in you. Now is the time when so many people are tempted to drift, when they're tempted to stop praying and they're stop trusting and stop doing devotions, and some people are going to be tempted, Lord, to give up church altogether. But I'm praying, Lord, for these people that they will find their peace and their strength in you. They will remain in you, and they will rest comfortably in your control. May you give us the strength and the peace each day. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen.